We haven't done a show together in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
It's actually been a really good day for those of us who support our president. Make sure we're live. Apologies for yesterday. We had apparently a pair of issues that happened during the show. First, the show froze, just randomly froze, and then other things happened. Lost a little bit of connection. Sound was choppy. Again, apologize. Hopefully today will be much better. I have checked to see if there are any NSA vans out there. I did not see any. Good evening, Linda McDonald from Facebook. Glad that you are here. So, hello and welcome to another episode of the NOQ Report, the NOQ Report. I am your host, JD Rucker, and I am not once again joined by my lovely, brilliant, talented, and absolutely patriotic co-host and wife, Tammy. She is still on vacation visiting family. And when you've got a three-year-old, you can't always do those things as a couple. So she'll hopefully be back very soon. Hello, Amber Lynch, also from Facebook. We've been getting a lot of Facebook traffic. You know where we haven't been getting a lot of viewers lately? YouTube. You wonder why? Could it be that maybe we've been talking a lot about voter fraud pretty much every single day, and they revealed today that they are going to be censoring any talk of voter fraud. If you contest the election, then that's anathema on YouTube, Google's little video brainchild. That's why, you know, I cannot wait till we can live stream to Rumble. We're also talking to pilled.net. We will be posting these videos there for sure. But as of now, we're still live streaming on only Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, Twitch, you know, all the usual suspects. And of course, the bulk of our audience are those of you who do not have to suffer with looking at my face because you're listening through Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever. You know, I just found out yesterday that we have moved up. We are now like the 120th most listened to podcast in Greece. In Greece. And I checked yesterday to say how to say hello in Greek. And I forgot because that was yesterday. So anyway, big news, exciting news. You know, I think anybody who's been watching the show for a while knows that I usually come on and I'm usually relatively somber. You know, I have a positive, I try to stay positive, but it's in a way it's almost forced because we have, since November 4th, been faced with bad news after bad news after bad news. We get some good news, then we get some bad news. It's like, yay, this is going to work. No, that's not going to work. This is obvious. That's not obvious. And I think for the last week or so, really 2 weeks, it's been a matter of me just saying, look, guys, hang in there. Truth is going to come out. The truth is coming out. We're seeing it in the form of thousands of affidavits, eyewitness, sworn affidavits. We're seeing it in videos. We're seeing it in statistical anomalies that boggle the mind. You know, there was a Rutgers professor, part of the Texas lawsuit, which we'll be covering in detail today. Part of the Texas lawsuit says that, you know, when you look at where the election results were on election night and you compare that to statistical models from 2016 and even earlier, and you look at what happened, you know, what ended up happening, especially in the four states that are part of the Texas lawsuit. This Rutgers professor, mathematician, PhD, went and calculated that it came to some to the effect of 1 in 4 quadrillion chance of that actually happening. But he extended it further. For it to happen across the board on all four in the way that it did happen overnight with all the anomalies, he actually said it would be 1 to the 4 quadrillion to the 5th power 1 to 4 quadrillion to the fifth power is 10, you know, 1 to 10 in the 60 to the 60th power. Now, there are somewhere between 10 to the 78th and 10 to the 82nd power as far as the number of atoms in the known universe. They haven't counted them all yet, but where they guesstimate is somewhere between 10 to the 78th and 10 to the 82nd. This Rutgers PhD professor determined that for Joe Biden to have won in the way he did without voter fraud, he's not saying that this didn't happen. He's saying that you take away voter fraud, you take away everything else. And for that to happen as it did would be 1 in 10 to the 60th power. Folks, most quantum physicists stipulate that anything beyond 10 to the 51st power is considered impossible. In other words, you know, even if you have infinite time and infinite chances for it to occur, it could actually still never occur and likely would never occur. It becomes impossible. So basically, that's what he's saying. Meanwhile, you have these fact checkers out there. You know, there's this scene from a movie that I'm embarrassed to have watched called Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey and Bridges, one of the Bridges. I forgot his name. Bridges. He was the dumber, and I guess Jim Carrey was just dumb, as usual. But there's a scene where, you know, he's asking what his chances are of getting with the lady. And, you know, she's basically like 1 in a million. And he's like shocked. He's like, so you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah. That's kind of what the fact checkers are doing. They're looking at this statistical analysis by this Rutgers professor. And they're saying, hey, he said it was 1 in 4 quadrillion. He didn't say it was impossible. Oh, brother. Brother. Jeff Daniels. Yes, Jeff Bridges. Yeah, Bridges. Good thing. Thank you, Andrew Chapin. Chapin. I'm probably pronouncing your name wrong as you're correcting my use. Yes, Jeff Daniels was dumber. I think he was dumber. Wasn't he? He was dumber. Jim Carrey was only dumb, if I recall. Anyway, hello. Hello from Missouri. Hi from Michigan. Very good. That's from Amber as well. So, as of right now, and this number will likely change, but the latest regarding the Texas lawsuit filed by Ken Paxton late Monday night, revealed Tuesday morning to mainstream media. Everybody started looking at it. People were looking at it. They were really focused on the Pennsylvania lawsuit, which was filed by Congressman Mike Kelly and congressional candidate Sean Parnell. I was looking at that. We were all seeing what would Justice Alito do, and he shot it back. He shot back, technically speaking, he shot back just the injunction aspect of it, which was really the most important part. But technically speaking, it's still in the docket. You know, there's a lot of SCOTUS technicalities there to deal with. But I think everybody's moved on anyway. We're not worried about that because the Texas lawsuit, that's the one that has legs. At least we hope. That's the one that President Trump himself has come out and said that he is going to participate and intervene. He has called on Senator Ted Cruz, who happens to have a plenty of experience when it comes to dealing with elections and the Supreme Court. He was part of George W. Bush's team in, you know, shortly following the 2000 election. So he knows what he's doing there. Plus, of course, he's on the SCOTUS shortlist. The guy knows the Constitution. He has memorized it. He can argue it, and President Trump has actually asked him to argue it. We don't know if that's going to happen. Ken Paxton is also a very, very competent litigator. I wouldn't mind seeing either of them or somebody else. There's plenty of options. We got the smart people on our side, thankfully. But that's not even the biggest news. Yes, President Trump backing it, that's great. But the bigger news is that as of right now, and again, the number will change, but there are 19 states who have backed this. 19 states. Folks, if we get to 26, I was talking to a good friend, Jared, over at thelibertyloft.com earlier. He was saying, guys, if we get to 26, that should be it, right? I mean, that's kind of a done deal. He may be right. We will see. Hi from Indiana, summer rain on Periscope. And guys, for those who are new, I do have a single feed that's showing me everything that's on Periscope, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. So if I don't give you a shout out, it's not because I don't like you. It just takes a while. President-elect Stella Yanarella, great name, says, my rhino leaders in Ohio are bums. I called, emailed, and tweeted all day. Well, we'll see. You know, this is one of those things where it's not a good thing if every Republican state were to back this. People say, well, you know, that would be a good thing. Now, it would be better if it were, obviously, if we could get a Democrat to back it, that would never happen, but a sledgehammer of honor hits them on the head and they say, oh my gosh, yes, this is obviously a steal. This is obviously bad. We're going to back this. They won't, because there'll be political suicide, but you never know. Maybe somebody will. So far, 19 attorneys general have backed this, 19 states. Do we need 26? No, this isn't a vote. That would be more symbolic. If we had gotten 7 to 10, as Texas GOP chairman, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West told Steve Bannon yesterday, if we could have gotten to 7, that'd be great. Okay, 10, be even better. We're at 19. Folks, there's real legitimate reason to be cheerful about this. And those who followed, you know, I'm not one who was like, oh, yay, you know. While everybody was lambasting me for saying that the Pennsylvania lawsuit wasn't going to fly, you know, I said from the beginning, guys, I don't think this one's going to fly. It has merits, yes. But the reason that it was thrown out of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is the same reason I thought it was going to get thrown out of the Supreme Court. The timing was just off. They've had it for months. Why did they wait until after their guy lost? So I thought that, yes, that one would be thrown out. I look at some of these other lawsuits, and I do read them, okay? Yeah, I got time on my hand. I read lawsuits. I read affidavits. I watch videos. I look at statistics. I'm a political nerd, I guess you could say. And being such, you know, I'm the biggest skeptic when it comes to these things. Okay, I don't just say, "Oh my gosh, this is it, guys. This is the one." Okay, trust the plan. That's not me. I don't say those things. I usually say, "This one looks pretty bad," or "This may fly, probably not." You know. In this case, and I have to acknowledge up front, it's been a busy day, busy couple of days. I have not read the entire lawsuit filed. I haven't. I will. Before the next show, I promise I will have read it. I just haven't had much time. It's been crazy. You know, with Tammy gone, it is tough sometimes to find the time to read, what is it, 154 pages? But we will get there. President-elect Stella Yanarella asks, I heard 17, heard the additional 2. Arizona, I know, is one of them. The National File just reported that less than an hour ago. And that was funny. That was actually shortly after the Arizona GOP tweeted at the Arizona Attorney General. Then they jumped on board. President-elect Rodriguez said, yesterday you said this wasn't the silver bullet. Are you changing your mind? So that's a good question. No, I'm not necessarily changing my mind. And you're coming from, oh no, you did come from YouTube. You'll notice if you look at the description, I put in there, you know, the question is this a silver bullet? I've said, you know, the short answer is maybe. The real answer is a big yes and a big no. And the end result is going to be somewhere in the middle. I'm not being wishy-washy. I will explain why this is a big yes. This is the silver bullet. And it's also definitely not. It definitely is, and it definitely is not. But somewhere in the middle is where we're going to see the truth. And I'll explain. Again, I'm not being wishy-washy here. I want to explain why there are very, very strong reasons to believe that this is the one. And there are also very strong reasons to believe that this isn't it. But the most important thing, and let's start with that. Let's work our way backwards. I'm glad, whether this pans out or not, I'm super glad about this, because it takes attention away from where it shouldn't be. Rudy Giuliani is recovering from coronavirus. Jenna Ellis, I've heard yes and no that she's she's got it. You know, we've had attacks against the various various groups out there that are also suing Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell. They need to be left alone. I am hopeful that this Texas lawsuit means that they will be left alone by both sides. Okay. It's enough pressure to try to squeeze in, you know, what would normally be 3 to 6 months worth of research and affidavits and statements and everything else that comes into a lawsuit like this. Try to squeeze 3 to 6 months worth into a couple of weeks. It's already enough pressure. On top of that, when you have the Biden team, big tech, mainstream media, and everybody else screaming, move on, it's over. And you've got MAGA saying, guys, do something. Get going. Where's the Kraken? Okay, that just adds more pressure. I am very, whatever happens with this Texas lawsuit, I am very pleased that, at the very least, it does take attention away from the other lawsuits. Is there a silver bullet amongst those? Maybe, maybe not. Is this the silver bullet? Let's go ahead and address that. Is this the silver bullet from a constitutional perspective? Yes, it is. What I have read of the lawsuit is very straightforward, very clear, and this is the type of lawsuit that the Supreme Court should act upon. My big fear before looking into it, and this was, and I hadn't read any of it as of yesterday's show, my big fear before reading it was that this wasn't a merit-based filing, that the Supreme Court people were like, oh, but it's on the docket. That must mean that they think there's something there. And as I explained yesterday, when one state sues another state, there's only one place that can be adjudicated, and that's the Supreme Court. So they had an obligation to docket the case. They did. As long as they determined that it wasn't frivolous, it wasn't without, completely without merit, they had to docket it. They had to hear this case. That was set based upon the fact that it's Texas suing Pennsylvania. Can't take that to a Texas court. Can't take that to a Pennsylvania federal court. Can't take it to an appellate court. Can't take it to either Supreme Court of the states. You have to take it to the Supreme Court itself, the United States Supreme Court. So I want to tamp down on the expectations that just because they accepted the case doesn't mean that it had merits. Now, though, after reading a good chunk of it, reading some analyses of it, and most importantly, seeing all of these states hopping on board, now I'm much more confident. You know, people that say, are you a lawyer? No, I don't have to be. When I see 18, 19 states hopping on board, okay, and people say, yeah, but it's just they're rooting for the home team. No, no, that's not the case. Okay, these guys have to win elections too. Okay, they're not going to stake their careers on this presidential election. I wish they would. I wish more people would. I wish more congressmen and senators would stand up and risk their careers to back their president and defend the Constitution in the face of clear and unambiguous voter fraud. I wish that would be the case, but there aren't. You know, part of being a politician, especially a lifetime politician, is that you always look out for number one, and that's what these people are doing. The fact that they have jumped on board en masse tells me that there is something there. What I've read tells me there is something there. And what other commentators are saying tells me that there is definitely something there. That's a good question from Matthew Brown. I will get to that one. Let me go ahead and put it on the screen so I don't forget it, because it's flying. So that's the good news. The good news is, with everybody backing this, with the president backing it, with everybody focused on it, there is, I think, it based upon everything I've seen, it has the merits. Because, again, we are talking about a constitutional issue here. These states, these four states, they cheated. Whether or not it's voter fraud, whether or not it was for the sake of Biden, you take all that out of the equation, you look at what they did with mail-in balloting, with hiding the irregularities, with not doing what they're supposed to do with the ballots, with the digital copies of the ballots, with the envelopes, with everything. You look at how just how this election was handled by these four states. There's nothing. You can't say that it was normal. And you definitely can't say that it was legal by both their state constitutions as well as the U.S. Constitution. And I'll explain why here in a bit. Let's go ahead and hop on this question because I don't like it. It's blocking my mouth on the screen, so I have to stand up taller. You know, I'm not a tall guy. Matthew Brown says, should there be concerns about the Rhino Republican legislators if the lawsuit gets past SCOTUS? Yes. So, you know, and what he's insinuating, what he's asking here basically is this. If the rulings themselves are not definitive, in other words, if the Supreme Court takes this and rules against in either direction, will these Rhino legislators, such as, you know, we've heard about Arizona, you know, Pennsylvania seems to be fighting, Michigan, they've already in many ways shot themselves in the foot, okay, Georgia. These are Republicans who see voter fraud in their state and who may still pick electors for Joe Biden or may not pick electors at all. May just go with the flow. Even though the Constitution says it is their duty, their right, their responsibility, almost every state legislature has abdicated over the centuries, over the last few decades to basically say, look, let's just, you know, I know we're supposed to pick, but let's give it back to the people. Let's let the governors get involved. Let's get election boards together and canvassers and, you know, let's abdicate our power. And they have. They can take that power back if they choose to. They can. And yet they haven't yet. Okay, Pennsylvania, again, is heading in the right direction. Should we be looking to them to do the right thing? The answer is no. We should be demanding that they do the right thing. Can they reverse this? Even if Supreme Court rules against Texas, can the legislatures step in? Absolutely. Should they? Yes. Yes, they should. Unless they can come up with actual proof that there was no voter fraud. People will say, oh, you know, no, it's not. It's the, you know, the defendants, they don't have to prove it's, they're innocent until proven guilty. Folks, this is a civil case, period. It's a civil case. Both sides have to prove their case. This is not a criminal case where somebody's innocent until proven guilty and the burden of evidence is entirely on the prosecution. There is no prosecution, okay? There are plaintiffs and there are defendants, and both sides have to present evidence. In this case, the plaintiffs have to present evidence of widespread voter fraud that was sufficient enough to change the results of the election in these individual states. And the defendants have to prove that there was no voter fraud or that there wasn't enough to change the results of the election. That's how these civil cases work. It's based upon a preponderance of evidence. The Supreme Court does not have to set the bar of, you know, you have to demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that these 174,000 votes in this state, that these were, number one, definitely for Joe Biden. Number two, they were definitely fraudulent. Number three, they were all dead people. Okay, you don't have to do that. There's no beyond a reasonable doubt. That's criminal cases. We've said that ad nauseum. I will continue. Okay, one more quick scan. Wow, there's a lot. A lot. There may be too much. Too much. One question, just because it's a quick answer. Is this going to drag out until January 19th? Lord, I hope not. You know, I don't mind. I think if this were a football game, we're just past halftime. There's probably like we're 6.5 minutes into the third quarter. Okay, it's not early in the game, but it's definitely not late. I'd like to get this all wrapped up before January 5th. That'd be nice. Has to be wrapped up before January 19th. And it will, for all intents and purposes, if there's not real legitimate action happening by, say, January 10th or 11th, it's not going to happen. So we got a month, maybe less. Is that enough time? Yes, absolutely. 100%. Plenty of time. Is it still a little worrisome? Yes, it is. And that's the part where we get to why I wouldn't say that this is a silver bullet. A silver bullet would be Dominion servers before and after, clear tampering on their part. A silver bullet would be more videos like what we saw in Georgia. That was a silver bullet. That really was. Okay. That alone should be enough to sway the legislators. Forget the lead stories of some random fact checker that's getting all sorts of attention lately, because they're the ones that they'll debunk anything. Okay. I mean, this is a site. I don't see how they can still be considered to be fact. Actually, I do know how, but I don't. They're considered fact checkers. They would literally debunk. If President Trump stepped out there right now and he looked up at the night sky and he said, gosh, there are billions of stars up there. They would do a fact check within 10 minutes saying, actually, it's trillions, sir. You are wrong. I mean, it's there. Snopes is terrible. Okay. PolitiFact is awful. But lead stories, I mean, they're like the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of fact checkers. They consistently embarrass themselves, you know. And I'm not trying to offend the people. I actually looked up the people. They seem to be pretty nice people. They're just radical leftists who believe in neo-Marxism and want to destroy America. That's all, you know. Otherwise, nice people. Ed Ackerman, how do you prove a negative? So that's a good question. And I'm assuming you're referring to how does somebody prove that there was no voter fraud? You prove the authenticity of the votes, okay? You know, when you say you can't prove a negative, it's like me walking into a bar saying, hey, you know, I'm 21. Well, I still need to see your ID. I said I'm 21, okay? You cannot prove that I'm not 21. Well, no, but our policy is that you have to show your ID regardless. You know, but no, you must let me in. You cannot prove. It doesn't work like that, folks. No, you can't prove a negative, but you can prove the votes were valid. That's why they have, well, you know, stuff like signatures. That's why they're supposed to maintain digital copies of every ballot. Did you know that? Now, let me ask you this, and this is an important question. They're mandated to keep the digital copies of the ballots. There's absolutely no reason to delete them. None. No mandates, no statutes, no policies. Okay? It's not like they were running out of room on their hard drives. There was no reason to delete the digital copies of the ballots. So why did they, if not to cover up voter fraud? That's an example of how, no, they don't have to prove a negative. They have to explain why they did that. Because again, would that hold up in a criminal case? No, it wouldn't. They would probably not, whoever did it isn't going to face jail time. But in a civil case, they have to have a valid reason. They can't just say, we just did. Okay, you can't prove that we did, that they were bad. We don't have to prove that they were bad. We just have to show that you did it for no reason other than to hide voter fraud. Okay. If you can come up with another viable reason, please do. And if you really don't think that was voter fraud, then you're an idiot. I'm sorry. Okay. Not trying to offend people. Maybe I am. Who knows? Chrissy asks, Lynn and Cindy's cases. You know, here's the funny part. I don't know if you caught it earlier, Chrissy. The best part about this, win or lose, the best part about this Texas case is that we don't have to look at Lynn and Cindy's cases. We don't. We can put our efforts into this case. And Lynn Woods, Cindy's cases, the Trump team's cases, okay, all of the various groups out there, and there are much more than I didn't realize how many there were right now. There's a ton. But they can proceed without so much of a spotlight, without the left pressuring them to give it up, without us pressuring them to show results. I do have a perspective on both cases. I do think that one is heading in the right direction and one is kind of cratering, but I'm not going to talk about it. Not yet, not today. I want the focus to be on the Texas lawsuit because, again, folks, for us, we're stuck sitting around, twiddling our thumbs, praying, hoping. But we have to do more. We have to keep our spirits up. We have to keep the faith alive. You know, if we do believe that God is in control, then our our faith tells us that we must pray for God's will to be done. The Lord's Prayer, daily, as you should be praying. Every morning I pray it. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what we should hope for. And we know that if it is God's will for President Trump to win, then he's going to win no matter what. And if it's not his will, if it's his will that Joe Biden wins, then that will happen. We have to keep that faith. I said yesterday that we don't need to have so much hope. That was a mistake. My wife actually lambasted me a bit for that. Not that she disagrees, but in the way that I worded it, made it seem as if we shouldn't focus on hope at all. We do. We do have to focus on hope. That just we just can't lead with it. We follow our faith, but we can still maintain our hope. And that's one of the reasons why I like this lawsuit. I like the fact that everybody's hopping on board. I like the fact that President Trump has endorsed it, that he's said that he would intervene directly if necessary, that he's asked Ted Cruz to participate, that we have heavy hitters on our side. Whatever happens with the other lawsuits, I hope that they are able to proceed unimpeded as a result of what's happening with this particular lawsuit. This is draining all of the air out of the newsrooms, right? Good. Let's focus on it. Yes, this can be the big one. But whether it is or not, I don't care. I'm going to still be looking at it. I'm going to be looking at all of them. Great question from Chrissy again. What case will include Dominion? Okay, now we're getting into it. Now we're having some fun. In the end, and this is just a result of time passing and allowing people to become more familiarized, having more access to the data. And this is the part that I don't know if this is breaking or not, but maybe other people have talked about it. The people I've talked to, the insider information that I've gotten is that Dominion is now a part of every lawsuit. They were terrible at covering up their own tracks. The DOJ has been participating in it. And I know, oh my gosh, as soon as I say DOJ, people are going to be like, oh, but they do nothing. You're right. They don't do anything. You might say, oh, but they're not even part of the civil suits. They're part of a criminal case that won't happen for weeks. I said that. I've been saying that for a while. Don't worry about the DOJ. But here's the thing. They have done one thing that has been very beneficial. By asking the right people the right questions, it was almost like the turning the lights on and watching the cockroaches scatter. And that has benefited in a way that I had not anticipated. You know, a week ago I said, I hope the DOJ just stays out of it. Now I'm glad they did at least poke their head in, because it's one thing to get a subpoena from Lynn Wood. It's another thing to get a knock on your door from the Federal Bureau of Investigations, as we believe Dominion did 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, 3 weeks ago. Gosh, time is flying. 3 weeks ago up in Toronto, their headquarters, which was followed by a trip down to Atlanta, a trip that lasted, according to the plane records, the plane was on the ground for 1 hour and 10 minutes. They didn't go question anybody. They didn't do anything. They specifically went down to pick something up, and something of great importance, because they didn't just have it mailed. They went down to pick something up. And ever since then, Dominion has been going crazy. Their employees have been deleting social media profiles. They've been hiding, literally physically hiding. Okay. I can't say who, but one attorney has been trying to issue subpoenas. They can't even find these people anymore. Okay. They're not showing up at work. They're not at their homes. They're not anywhere. Won't answer their phones. I mean, it's to the point to where they're starting to have to pull credit card records. So yes, that's the long answer. The short answer to your question is, which case will include Dominion? Yes. Yes. All cases will. If Biden ends up getting arrested for insurrection, the results won't matter. That's true. That is true. I'm not going to comment on that because I'm just not going to comment on it. Matthew Brown, parallel investigations going on. Absolutely. And that's this is the layers that, you know, I dig deep. Okay. I really do. I dig as deep as I can. I force, I make trades. Okay. Look, I got four kids. I've offered one of them. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't even say that. That's very sad. Forget that joke. That's a joke that would have been appropriate in the 90s. It's no longer the 90s. Let me get to a more politically correct joke. I would have paid a lot of money to these people that I don't even have to get information at times. And the information that I'm getting is that there are, as Matthew says, parallel investigations going on between various departments within the government, between different organizations that are involved in these lawsuits. State law enforcement is involved. One particular state is very, very much involved. And I happen to have a friend there. Good stuff. Yeah, it is. I've never been able to fully articulate why I'm still at 90%. I'll articulate why I'm at the 10%, because the 10%, we see it today with YouTube. YouTube is actually willing to essentially alienate probably half of their user base by saying that they will remove videos that claim voter fraud is real. For all I know, this is no longer streaming on YouTube, or it'll be taken down here in an hour. Probably will, because they said that they were going to do that. You have Fox News, who was on top of the mainstream media world. They were the ultimate mainstream media. To watch them fall. Greg Kelly's show beat Martha McCollum's show like yesterday or the day before. Okay, Newsmax. Newsmax beat them in the 25 to 54 demographic, but still, that wasn't even a possibility. Okay, his show was the most watched show at Newsmax, and it was averaging about 10,000 viewers. Okay, 10,000. The numbers now, I think they're up to a million or close to a million. I mean, it's not even Fox messed up, and they knew they were messing up. They were willing to do it. Okay, the Democrats, they have stuck their necks out so far. I mean, so far on this. Why? Why was this so important? I'm asking these questions. These are rhetorical questions. You all know the answers. But do we really know the answers? This is worse than Trump derangement syndrome. They've gone in a coordinated manner that I won't say it worries me, but what is the 10%? The 10%. Is that they're not going to allow it to happen, even if it destroys them. That they're not going to allow Trump to win, even if the only way that they could prevent it is to literally destroy the country. They've already shown that they're willing to go exponentially further than what we would have ever possibly thought would be the case. People ask, why didn't President Trump know there's going to be voter fraud? He did. We all did. We knew there's going to be voter fraud. We knew it was going to be a lot more than what happened in 2016. There was a ton of voter fraud in 2016. There's been a ton of voter fraud in every election ever. 2016 had a lot. And we thought, you know what? There's going to be a ton more. In 2020, we all thought this. But man, they are really going to go all out. Okay? And we were sitting there thinking, okay, so you know, I'm using symbolism here. You know, we thought, okay, so before we were able to, in 2016, we were able to beat them back. We had our arsenal of guns, but they're probably going to bring tanks this time. So we need to get rocket launchers. We need to be prepared as we can to fight this voter fraud and to bring it to a close. And, you know, we got our rocket launchers and we're looking over the horizon for tanks and we don't see them. You know, when we finally see what the voter fraud was, we look up and it was the freaking Death Star. Okay. It's like, our rockets can't even, we were prepared to take on heavy, heavy, but not that. Really? They're going to manufacture millions of votes? Don't they know they're going to get caught? Well, we didn't realize. It was the mainstream media, big tech, and everybody else was going to cover up for them. What we didn't realize is that many Republicans were going to roll over and show their belly. Why? Because they were one of the three B's. They were either, best case scenario, they were bullied. Bad scenario, they were bribed. And the worst case scenario is that they were blackmailed. And so ask Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia. Ask Brad Raffensperger, secretary of state of Georgia. Ask them, which of the three B's are you? Were you just bullied? If you were just bullied, surely you can fix it by now. Okay. Surely you can grow a spine and fix this as your state that is trying to participate in the destruction of our nation. Surely you have some honor left in you, sir. I don't think it was that one. I wish it were. I think they were either bribed or they're being blackmailed because they are going all out. Oh, let's see. Yes, a lot of people are saying it's the money. China money. China money. Let's see. David Reed on Facebook. If one death in 10,000 COVID cases is enough to shut down the country, shouldn't one fraudulent vote in 10,000 shut down the election? Yes, except the problem is it's not one vote in 10,000. It's probably more like 38 votes in 10,000 or 380. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but it's bad. I mean, there's a possibility. Based upon one projection, there's a possibility that Joe Biden didn't get 60 million votes and that President Trump got over 85 million. I don't think it's that bad, but it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Oh, all right. I'm not even going to comment on Jose's comments. Not going to do it. I'm married. So... And she does watch. She watches from her mom's home. Oh yeah. So David Reed says, I do think Trump got 80 to 90 million votes. I think he did get over 80. I truly do. I think that he was able to expand his voter base dramatically. I just don't think that Biden got only 58 million or whatever. I think he legitimately got more than Hillary Clinton. People are like, yeah, but he was such a worse candidate than she was. Yes, but the hatred for Trump was greater this time. Hillary didn't get enough votes because people thought there was no chance she would lose. This time they weren't going to. I think that Joe Biden got more votes than Hillary Clinton. He definitely did not get more votes than Barack Obama's first one. Mikey Mike asks, are we in a civil war? Civil wars are difficult to discuss because we're facing our neighbors. It's not like, during the Civil War where there was the North and the South, where you had geographical state, the states were divided between, the ones that opposed slavery and those that did not. And people, we can even go into the greater, the more accurate geopolitics of the time, what was really driving the driving force behind the Civil War. That's for probably a never topic. It's that was different. There was geography. Today, it's our neighbors. Some cases, it's our family members. Okay. I feel really sorry for Kellyanne Conway. I don't even want to know what that household is like. That was dysfunctional before they tried to steal the election from President Trump. Okay. As a matter of fact, has anybody seen George Conway lately? Somebody might want to do a welfare check. He might not be available. George is unavailable this time. What are your thoughts on the 17 states jumping on board with the Texas lawsuit, 18, including Arizona? They give credence. Okay, that's pretty much it. And I don't want to downplay it, but I think people have to understand, when it comes to these amicus briefs, when it comes to the support, the Pennsylvania case got a lot of support. There were seven, I believe, including even Judge Roy Moore, former Supreme Court Chief Justice in Alabama, former Senate candidate twice a Senate candidate. Roy Moore, he filed a very compelling amicus brief. It was the right angle to take it from. And that was for the Pennsylvania case. These states are going to hold more weight than individual attorneys or judges or anybody else because they are states. But at the end of the day, it's still going to come down to the evidence. It's still going to come down to the testimonies. It's still going to come down to the questions that are asked by the Supreme Court justices and how those questions are answered. People ask who would I love to see argue this case. It really is Ted Cruz, because this is going to come down to a constitutional issue. Do I think Ted Cruz is the best litigator? Absolutely not. No, he's out of practice. He's a politician now. Okay. He probably, you know, needs to remember a few things, but nobody doubts his understanding and even, like I said, direct memorization of the Constitution. That's what this is going to come down to, because it's not a question of whether this was wrong. It's not a question of whether or not they should have done this or should have done that. The question comes down to, was the Constitution broken? Was it defied? Did they act against their own constitutions, their own laws, and by extension, the United States Constitution? Those are the questions that have to be answered. And that's where I would like to see Ted Cruz. I'm not saying he's definitely going to be the best. I just know him. Yeah, I know. I don't know him personally. I've never met. Technically, we met once, but he probably doesn't remember. But yeah, I mean, is he the right guy? Sure. Those are the questions that have to be answered. So that's the long answer. The short answer to your question is I'm very glad, because it lends credibility and draws attention to the Texas case. I'm very glad that now 18 states have, and it's technically not the states, it's technically the attorneys general in each state, but that is still, that they represent the states from a legal perspective. They are the law enforcement, the chief law enforcement officers of their states. So, okay, what about Trump declares martial law, suspends habeas corpus, then enacts the NDAA insurrection, sending it all to military tribunals? That's possible. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. And believe it, I wasn't being facetious when I said that's possible. It actually is. Will you still be around after Biden takes office? Yes. Good question. And yeah, I mean, if this doesn't work, if Biden is president, then he's our president. Okay. Just as I did not support Barack Obama's policies, but he was the president. Was he rightfully the president? Yeah, I think so. People say that there was voter fraud in 2012 in Florida against Mitt Romney. Maybe, maybe not. I don't think it was enough. I think he won both elections fair and square. I respect the position of president. Now, with that said, if he is president, you're not going to convince me that he is rightfully president. I will respect the office, and I will be spending the next however long, 4 years, researching, investigating, trying to figure out what it was. This doesn't, if Joe Biden is inaugurated on January 20th, this doesn't go away. Okay. This doesn't. This is a coup. Just like if China were to invade and take over, it's not like, well, okay, I guess we got to learn Mandarin. No, we would keep fighting even if they were successful. And we will keep fighting if Joe Biden is erroneously and fraudulently it's going to be scary for all of us, not just Trump supporters. It's going to be scary for the entire nation come January 20th if Joe Biden is inaugurated, for multiple reasons. These are things that I have unfortunately thought about and researched, things that I don't want to talk about. Not yet. There's no need. It's fatalistic. But moreover, because I don't think it's going to happen. That's the long answer. The short answer, if he is president, am I still going to be here? You betcha. I'll double up the shows. You'll have two or three a day. Oh, the trolls. Somebody commented to me via Twitter DM earlier that the trolls do get to me. I'm trying not to let it, so I do try to ignore them more. David Reed, our republic will not survive this assault. Again, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not focused on that. I don't want to hear about Joe Biden's terrible. If you go to Knock Report, you won't find a single story about a Joe Biden nominee. Go to NOQReport.com right now. Is there a nominee for his cabinet, so-called, you know, fictional cabinet? No. I'm not worried about his policies. I'm worried about real news. I'm thinking the top story is about Hunter Biden, you know, finally acknowledging. Supposedly found out yesterday that he was under investigation. Whatever. He's been under investigation. He's known he's been under investigation for at least a year, maybe a year and a half. They just didn't want to announce it yet. Joined by my guest host, who just got up from a nap. Gosh, Hello. You guys are going to say hi to everybody. Here, you got to sit up higher. You guys are going to think that I don't wash his hair because he always comes on screen after the nap. And he always looks like he's confused because he is. And that look in his face right now, that's Joe Biden's look. As soon as the verdict comes down from the Supreme Court, that they acknowledge that he cheated. Yeah. President Trump. Yeah, right. See, you think that was funny. When he acknowledges that President Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. And Joe Biden's, instead of worrying about how to decorate the Oval Office, he'll be concerned about, you know, what sort of defense he has to mount so that he can try to avoid jail time for him and his corrupt family. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah. All right. Say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, say bye to everybody because we're going to go now. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Wave. You got to wave at everybody. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lord willing, we will be back very soon for another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong. Stay safe. And God bless.